From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome, final hour of the Bill Michaels Show for this Monday, and then tomorrow a whole day getting you ready for the wild card game between the Brewers and the Washington Nationals. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Don't forget, at Cousin Subs, they can put you on the 50-yard line as a VIP experience. Plush leather recliners, kind of hanging out, checking out Lambeau Field and the Green Bay Packers. They do it from now all the way through December. And you and a guest could be winning a pair of tickets and that fan experience. But you can't do anything if you don't go to packers.com/best seats. That's packers.com/best seats. And get into the best seats in the house promotion. That's all brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Don't forget, if you're going to be sitting down tomorrow night watching that Brewers and Washington Nationals game, that might be the food of choice. Great big sub sandwich. Eat, part of it in the first three innings, the other part of it in the last three innings, and in between maybe have a beverage or two. But can't wait for tomorrow night. Looking forward to it. And that's, again, brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst. Let's bring him in, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your Green and Gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Imig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Bring him in now, Paul Imig, our Green and Gold analyst. And Paul, it was an interesting weekend without the Green Bay Packers playing. I had a chance to pay attention, as I was talking with Eric Baranchuk, to the Bears and the Vikings. And boy, I was impressed with what Detroit did against Kansas City, coming out of that win against the Philadelphia Eagles and then going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and company, ultimately giving it up. But offensively speaking, that's a pretty good football team. So right now, I'll ask you this: who do you feel is the best team right now in the NFC North?
Well, in the NFC North, I mean, it's the Packers right now. They beat the Bears. They beat the Vikings. Detroit did look really good against Kansas City. I mean, you have a lead with a minute left in the fourth quarter against Kansas City. You have done a whole lot of things right. I think they are probably looking back at Week One, Detroit, that is, and wondering how the heck they had to settle for a tie against Arizona. That, I think that's going to haunt them for here for a little bit. But Bill, we've talked about since the draft and for agency that I'll repeat it now. I think the NFC North will get both of the wild card teams in the NFC. If three of the four make the playoffs, a division winner plus, that's not going to surprise me one bit. I think there's, a lot of people were scared of Dallas. Then Dallas goes and plays the Drew Brees-less Saints. Doesn't look good, especially offensively, and I think that's a reality check for them. I think you're seeing a situation in Chicago where you have an incredibly well-built football team that to this point has not gotten the quarterback position right. And are they better without Trubisky right now? Maybe, and that's a terrible thing to have to say about a number two overall pick that you traded up to get. Minnesota, an incredibly well-built team that made a huge miscalculation at quarterback that they are obviously dreading at this point, and now they're stuck with, $28 million guaranteed this year and next year for Kirk Cousins, because other than him, they have a really, really well-built team. So I maintain from top to bottom, this is the best team, this is the best division in all of the six, in all of the six divisions in both conferences. So, I mean, are any of those teams going to finish worse than 8-8, or I guess if it's Detroit, 8-7-1, Bill? I mean, my opinion is I think these are all above 500 teams. What do you think about that? I don't see a bad team right now.
I don't see a bad team, but I see every team has a flaw. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And so the flaw for the Bears is obviously their offense, their quarterback position. Matt Nagy abandons the run far too quickly. They get away from Montgomery far too quickly, and I think that's problematic. And Mitch Trubisky, as much as you want to force him in there and say he's going to get better, he's not the guy. I mean, after a couple of years here now in the NFL, it's clear he's not the guy they traded for to trade it up to get. He's not going to be the leader they wanted him to be. Kirk Cousins isn't either. The defense that the Minnesota Viking has is adequate. It's not the number one defense, but it's good enough. But they've got a tremendous run game. Unfortunately, they don't have a quarterback that can lead them back. The Green Bay Packers, their run defense is completely suspect. Their run offense really kind of stinks right now. I think the offensive line is somewhat overrated. And they're going to rely on Aaron Rodgers' arm and a pass defense. And if they don't get up early and often and have teams play catch-up to throw the football, then they're going to be in trouble. And then you've got the defense of the Detroit Lions, which is nowhere near as good as their offense, but their offense is much better than what we've seen in the past. And that team in a scoring league, if they can just start putting up enough points and keep their defense to where they don't have to win games for them but just sustain, that's going to be a good team. So I don't know what team is the best team. They all have warts, but every one of these teams can be exploited.
If you got to bet the house, Who's the division winner, and who's the fourth place, the last place division team?
If I had to bet the house, the division winner right now would probably be the Bears because their defense can score.
Ooh, you just said that on a Wisconsin radio show.
I know, their defense can score. And when you've got a defense that can basically hold you to next to nothing, and even if your offense gets – if Matt Nagy ever discovers that he's not the smartest guy in the room and just runs the ball and has a balanced offense and kind of works it around – that can be a pretty decent team. My second top team right now in a scoring league would have to be Detroit.
Oh, Bill!
I swear to God. Look, the Packers are scoring, but they can't run the football. They can't stop the run. And until you prove to me, look, the two games that I had circled were Dallas and Kansas City. And I have got immense trepidation about going into Dallas. I don't know why, Paul. I was driving yesterday, and I'm sitting at a stoplight, and I'm still thinking about that Philadelphia game. It still bothers me because this is years ago. Remember during the 15-1 season, and they got beat by Kansas City, and they got beat by Romeo Crennel, who discovered if you go up and punch the receivers in the mouth at the line of scrimmage, this offense doesn't flow. And it was kind of like, oh my goodness, they exposed something, and I saw it then. And that's exactly what I saw in that Philadelphia game, was Doug Peterson figured them out. And they did exactly what they wanted to do, and they went toe-to-toe with the Green Bay Packers. And they said, okay, you stop the pass. That's fine. You guys have a tremendous secondary. You can't stop the run because you don't have a depth at the middle linebacking position. You're going to bring up small guys, so we're going to run bigger guys across the middle. You can't stop us. So you put smaller guys in, you can't stop us. You put bigger guys in, then we're going to go ahead and run the football, and you can't stop us there either. Unless this offense scores 30 a game, they're not going to win a lot of ball games, in my opinion.
So you're betting the tiki bar on the Bears to win the division and the Lions to finish second.
I wouldn't bet the tiki bar because they all have flaws. But if I had to put $50 on it right now, I would say the Bears could win the division.
Okay. Well, you said bet the house, and I think the tiki bar goes with that, right?
Well, yeah.
I was a figure of speech, perhaps. But yeah, I mean, I guess this will make for some good sports talk over the coming months because I really like all the teams in the division. I don't know if any of them should be considered the favorite in the NFC, but I think they're all so solid. And I don't know if any of them have – while they have flaws, I'm not sure I see a fatal flaw. You know, something that's going to finish with a below 500 type of record, that level of flaw in these four teams. Again, I think a lot of people – I'm surprised they're so trepidatious going into Dallas because I saw, you know, Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints, you know, and granted, not the Saints offense was what did it, but I see an overrated – Dallas offense. Bill, it was a week ago when everyone, well, not even, it was last Friday when everyone was, it was a week ago. Everyone's kind of like nitpicking Aaron Rodgers and doing some of this. Well, what I hope happened for a lot of Packers fans yesterday is that they watched the rest of the league on Red Zone or wherever it is that you watch your Sunday football when the Packers aren't playing, because I saw a lot of quarterback play of very highly touted quarterbacks. Matt Ryan is not good, Bill. Dak Prescott, I think he's good, okay? But if you would rather have Dak Prescott start a game for you in a must-win game tomorrow over Aaron Rodgers, I think there's how do I put this kindly? I think that's a crazy opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's even among the good quarterbacks, Matt Ryan is a top half of the league quarterback. Dak Prescott, a top half of the league quarterback, I still think that's where you just start to see, like, even when Rodgers plays poorly or has a bad decision or makes some bad throws, once you watch the rest of the league, you see that is much more commonplace elsewhere. So I would be willing to shake your hand with a little friendly wager on the final division standings. But again, there's so much there that I think you're looking at for. It's not like you're staring at a team at the bottom where you're like, well, the Dolphins will finish last. Like, there's nothing easy like that. I think 1 through 4, they're fairly well matched. I just think when you have Rodgers versus a miserable quarterback situation in Chicago, a miserable quarterback situation in Minnesota, and then a Detroit team that, you know, I believe has to prove it before I really truly believe it. I think they blew it yesterday. I mean, Kansas City's great, but Detroit kind of blew that game. They blew the game in week one, having to settle for a tie with Arizona. So I wonder if they have enough, you know, experience in winning games to kind of outlast the rest of the division. So, I mean, I think the fact that we could disagree this much on just the order of four teams tells you how much parity there is in the NFC North.
Hey, if I said right now that the Bears would win the division and they would do it with Chase Daniel versus Mitch Trubisky, Chase Daniel just looked better. He looked more comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah,
he looked
did.
More comfortable throwing the football. He just looked better. And it looked like Matt Nagy gave him a little opportunity. If Mitch Trubisky is that far behind and still doesn't get it, they clearly traded up for the wrong cat. That guy is he's going to be a career backup in this league. That's going to be it.
And I have two comments with that.
Yeah.
One is that I hearken back to when the Philadelphia Eagles lost Carson Wentz for the season a couple years ago, and they bring in a Nick Foles, who at the time had almost just retired from the NFL.
Right.
Because it just wasn't working, and where's this really going? And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I really see a future in the NFL, you know, speaking of Nick Foles a couple years ago. He comes in and led the Eagles all the way, and then cashes in on what did Jacksonville give him, $20, $25 million this past offseason?
Stupid money, yeah.
You know, and Carson Wentz is a really good quarterback, and they still, in that moment, when Wentz, I think at the time, was a year two QB, they upgraded with Foles in the interim. You know, not long term, Wentz is better than Foles, but in the short term, and I think that Chicago would be better off. I mean, I kind of hope they stick with Trubisky and that his shoulder injury isn't serious, because I think that Nagy will stick with Trubisky, and I think that that's a mistake for the Bears. And my other comment is, like, Chicago, as I told you before, Bill, is a team, like, built to win now, minus the quarterback position. The timeline of where the rest of the team is in terms of being ready to win is in, like, the now section of the meter of winning. And the problem is that their quarterback position, at least if they stick with Trubisky or if his injury is not serious, is that's ready to win in 2-3 years, if ever,
mm-hmm.
if he ever
right.
figures it out. So that's where I kind of wonder if, you know, if you just look at that and you say, is Chase Daniel there, Nick Foles of a couple years ago, where, you know, you drafted Wentz number two overall, Trubisky, number two overall.
Right.
You bring in this journeyman veteran who's kind of, you know, he's not good, he's not bad, he's just kind of always hanging around, and maybe he does something for you. So I don't wonder if Chicago didn't see what happened yesterday and they're like, hey, Mitch, your shoulder injury, it's worse than we thought. We're going to sit you out for the year. We're going to go with Chase Daniel. I mean, would they not be better off in the short term? They might be.
Always good to chat, Paul. And whenever, what are we betting here? That I believe that the Bears are going to win the division, and then you are going to take whom?
Green Bay. And that's not a homer pick.
That's
not intended as a homer pick. I think the flaw of the Packers, which is right now run defense and the run offense, is less severe than the flaws of the other teams in the division. But I think more importantly, it's that you took Chicago 1 and Detroit 2.
Right.
And so I think the combination
of right now. I mean, Detroit's offense is better. Their defense is kind of non-existent, but at least it's not dead last in the league. And they're balanced enough. And the win on the road in Philadelphia impresses me. And the fact that they went toe-to-toe with Kansas City at home impresses me. They had that game up until the final 30 seconds.
Yeah, we'll do an order of Radio Joe cheese curds on that final standing.
I'll go for that. Are you with me on Thursday night or not? No, you're not with me? Otherwise, I'd say I'd buy you a complete dinner on Thursday night.
Probably not, unfortunately.
Okay.
But we can take a rain.
That's your neck of the woods. That's the reason I was wondering. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, life has taken an interesting turn with two little ones.
I bet, man. All right, Paul. Good stuff, buddy.
All right, Ben.
Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Up next, we'll talk about the same thing and a lot more. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, going to be joining us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Eleventh play of the drive. Olawale in at fullback, leading the way and putting his head down and getting across the goal line for a touchdown is Elliott. First touchdown of the game, and the Dallas Cowboys have the lead as the ball goes to Collins for the spike.
What are you looking for when you're watching TV?
Kind of the flow of the game. You know, certainly I think anytime you get the chance to watch a game, you're always trying to take things in terms of how people handle certain things situationally. But I was with my family too, so it's not like I had my kids crawling all over me. So
there you go. And NBC, Al Michaels talking about the Saints and the Cowboys last night. Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers there, sitting at home with the kids and the family. Checking it out, watching the game. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Don't forget, we're going to be at Maxwell's in Cedarburg this Thursday night, 6 to 8. The Bill Michaels Huddle back out on the road again. Looking forward to that. Terrific place. A lot of good people. And I love that area. Cedarburg is so beautiful. That downtown area is so fantastic. Can't wait to get out there. Mike Clemens, our NFL insider, our Green and Gold insider, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Mike, so Al Michaels doing the call, but Cowboys get beat last night. I was a little bit surprised by that, and Matt LaFleur just watching for the flow of the game.
And the surprise was how the Saints, you know, kept the Cowboys out of the end zone. And Cowboys returned the favor, too. I mean, the Saints kicked four field goals to get that win last night. But Saints at home, you know, loud environment. Teddy Bridgewater kept his cool. Dak Prescott trying to throw a couple of Hail Marys at the end of the game. And Randall Cobb down there, you know, waiting for the ball to come down, saying, dude, I got to show you some Aaron Rodgers tape because Dak Prescott does not have the Hail Mary down. He doesn't know how to do it, and how to get out of path or kind of figure out where your launching point is going to be because he was – and, you know, the Saints put a blitz on him as a key point, and he was unable to get the ball downfield and try and get a score on the board at the end of the game last night.
So now Matt LaFleur has to kind of figure out his offense first and foremost because we understand Davante Adams is not going to require surgery, but then again, he's not necessarily out of the woods either.
No. It's a turf toe, and, you know, the first thing is they had a practice this morning. They had a run through practice, and then they come back from meetings a little after 2 o'clock here. And, you know, the reality sinks in. Like, really? I mean, you're going to go against the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. And that tough defense with Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Darius Shepard, I mean, those are three. Well, one of those three is drafted. And you know, Kumerow, I don't know if he's going to be ready. He's had this shoulder injury. Alan Lazard, another undrafted guy. And so LaFleur talked about, how do you feel about your depth of wide receiver without Devontae?
Yeah, those guys are going to have to fill a void if he's not able to go. Obviously, that would create a pretty significant void. But the next man has got to step up, and it's not like our standards or expectations are going to change. So certainly, I think we got to be mindful of what we're asking certain guys to do because, you know, when you have a receiver like Devontae, he's able to. I don't think there's a route that he cannot run. And he's a dynamic receiver. But, you know, those other guys, it creates opportunities for other guys to step up and make some plays.
Let me ask you this. When do they make the decision medically on Devontae, in your opinion?
You know, coaches, I mean, they won't say this. They look at a schedule and say, well, man, here's some tough games coming up. This is where we really need this guy. You know, do we bring him back for a game? Maybe get him out there the first half or something. Or, you know, you talk to the trainers, you talk to the medical staff, you talk to the doctors, and Brian Gutekunst has the final say in this thing. But, you know, you go back and forth and just say, or do we just put him on the shelf for 3 or 4 weeks or however long the doctors say it's going to take so it's fully healed, so he's 100%, we don't bring him back too early for November and December. So LaFleur did talk today about, you know, how difficult are these decisions?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to it. Obviously, always take into the consideration, you know, all our the recommendations from our training staff. You know, I feel like we got a great training staff, and if it's something that we feel like is going to nag throughout the course of the season, sometimes it is better to give them that player rest to get healthy or healthier. So that's not such a nagging injury.
So I hope he can come back. I don't think it's going to be this week. I would be shocked if it was, Mike, just because of the severity of the injury. But the other concern is they don't have much of a run game right now. Their offensive line, I'm going through the rankings over the weekend. Pass blocking, they're fantastic. Run blocking, they're almost dead last in the National Football League overall. And they're just not able to get much of a ground game right now. And you look at the rankings where they're at in the ground game, and I think they're 28th or 29th from what I understand. It just hasn't materialized the way they want it to.
And former Packers guard then, you know, finished up his career, the Detroit Lions, now retired, T.J. Lang. I was kind of going back and forth with him on Twitter during the Eagles game the other night, and he said, this game changed when 75 left.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's right. When Brian Bulaga suffered that shoulder injury, was on the sideline, saw the doctors, and he didn't come in. Alex Light came in and got creamed on the first couple of plays, trying to get his feet, trying to, you know, just get set, get into the flow of the game for his pass protection and his blocking. And, you know, there's a game where if you go up, the Packers scored early again, and then you want to keep the ball away from Carson Wentz and those guys and try and get a little time of possession going. And Aaron Jones had it was a bad night. He could not find the hole. 13 carries, only 21 yards, 1.6 average after he got that nice touchdown. So Matt LaFleur was asked today, you know, how would you best describe the status of your ground attack right now?
Yeah, I think just work in progress. You know, I think there's some things that we've done a pretty good job with. I think we need to, you know, look at ourselves from a schematic standpoint and see, are we always calling the right stuff to attack the defense in the right way? But I think there's been some pretty good moments, I think. But certainly there's stuff that, again, we can do better as a staff and that, you know, our execution can be a little bit better as well.
Last year, Aaron Jones was like third in the league in 10-yard runs by percentage, and he's obviously had trouble getting going. How do you get him loose?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I wish I had the answer for you right now. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't ask that question. Again, it's just taking a look at everything we're doing. I do think that, and again, it's we've played some decent defenses, and that's kind of a byproduct of that as well. So. You know, but there's certainly a lot of things that we can do better in terms of just trying to, whether it's scheme oriented or just with our fundamentals, our technique, that can improve.
Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue the discussion regarding the Packers getting ready for this game against the Dallas Cowboys coming up this Sunday. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Got more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
As this is a spinning touchdown for Aaron Jones and a fast start for this Packer offense.
G-Mo and Quez did a good job of kind of giving me enough time to get on the corner. And when I seen the corner, I knew I was going to be one-on-one with the corner. Just kind of gave him a spin move, and he was holding on. The safety came down, kind of hit it. If he would have hit me, I don't know if I would have got in, but he kind of came on the outside and call it the goal zone. Anytime you get close, you got to smell it. That's somewhere you want to be. It's like home. So there's no better place to chill than at home, so get in the end zone.
Got to chill at home. There you go. Joe Buck and company giving you the play-by-play and Aaron Jones after the fact. And we're talking with Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. By the way, they have the opening drive contest going on at Quick Trip right now. Just stop in, see the store for details. With the Packers opening drive, you could win a prize package, including some tickets, even some cash for that matter, on the opening drive for the yards that are gained, a field goal, or even a touchdown. They can put you back into the dollars, so to speak. So make sure you check out our friends over there at Quick Trip, and don't forget, use your Quick Rewards card and see the store for details and get yourself all signed up in that manner and fashion. Also, our friends over at Pottawatomie Hotel Casino, it's all happening at Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Visit paysbig.com. They bring you our good buddy Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider. So, Mike, the big question for the run game is when Jamal Williams is going to be back.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I thought about this game was, well, after watching the tape, I mean, it was a breakdown on the offensive line and missed blocks. And once Bulaga went down, they probably could get some better blocks, too, from some of the wide receivers or, you know, Jimmy Graham at tight end as well. I think Aaron Jones might still be kind of trying to learn outside zone scheme and planting his foot at the right time. But, Aaron Jones, as I've said before, is really, when it comes to the X's and O's, one of the brighter running backs that I've ever talked to. And, you know, when you just talk some football at his locker, he's very impressive on what he sees. But, you know, you get into this game, and it's going to, you know, you're going to need Jamal Williams for a power run, and he goes down on the first play of the game. I think it was interesting, one of your listeners pointed out on Twitter, too, that it was an Eagle that put both Jamal Williams and Devontae Maxwell out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The two guys that got cut off were from dirty helmet hits from Eagles.
Right.
But, you know, we asked Aaron Jones this, you know, what's the effect when you have to take a 10-minute timeout and watch, you know, your one running back, because Dexter Williams, the rookie, is inactive. So it's just you and, you know, Danny Vitale now at running back, and it's basically you that's going to have to carry the ball for four quarters here. What is that like? How's that? What's the effect on the team, and how's Jamal doing, you know, after being hospitalized Thursday night?
Jamal himself making jokes. So I was like, oh, yeah, he's perfectly fine. That's Jamal.
How does that affect a team when that type of thing happens on the first play?
You don't get used to seeing things like that, because anytime something happens like that, it's scary. You never know if it's a neck or, like, what's going on. But at the same time, we know at that point we're playing for our teammate and doing everything for him. So not that we're accustomed to it, but we know we have to do it for our brother at that point.
What made that Eagles front just tough for you guys on the ground?
They're just penetrating. They're doing a lot of different things up front, running stunts, twists. The way they have been playing kind of the RPO at night, they've kind of been stacking the box and bringing pressure with it. They just did a good job on that play, had it kind of stuffed out. They put a safety in the box to make it look like they were stacking the box. Just changing it up, hard for us to kind of get a beat on them. And credit to them, they're switching it up and not letting us get a beat on them, get comfortable.
Mike, as much as we talk about the run game, and hopefully Jamal Williams is coming back, the run game on the opposite side, as far as the defense goes, that has been kind of a gaping wound here the last couple of games.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay and the Broncos running it up for over 150 yards. And then Thursday night, you know, Doug Peterson, he comes into this Eagles game with four running backs ready to go. Corey Clement was 100%, but they could bring him off. They didn't need Darren Sproles because Josh Howard, the former Bear, he's averaging nearly 6 yards a carry, had one for 19 yards, 87 yards. And then Miles Sanders, the rookie, the kid they picked up in the second round of the draft this year, 72 yards. He was averaging 6.5 yards a carry. He busted that one for 30, plus he had the kickoff return for 66. I mean, they're just gashing you. And so we talked to Matt LaFleur today about, all right, you went over the tape. What's wrong with the Packers' run defense after you did a good job against the Bears and the Vikings, except for the one Delvin Cook, where he busted one for 75 yards. What happened against the Broncos and the Eagles?
Yeah, well, we saw some guys getting out of their gaps, and that is the first thing that will get you beat. It's in terms of trying to stop the run. If you're not playing your gap or the right assignment, then it makes it a lot easier on the offense. So we got to do a better job being disciplined, staying in our gaps. And we always talk about it on both sides of the ball. It takes all 11, and it really does.
They've just kind of changed things up. I mean, they're splitting guys wide. Kenny Clark's out on the outside, then on the inside. Then, you know, Blake Martinez, they go small. They're trying to play. It seems like what Mike Pettine's trying to do, and I understand it, they're getting kind of gobbled up front right now.
At the start of the game, you saw Pettine go with that nickel defense, so maybe it's just Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry. And then they bring down Will Redmond. Since Raven Green, the safety, is out, they would bring in Will Redmond alongside of Blake Martinez to sort of play that hybrid linebacker inside. And he actually, I mean, he missed some tackles, but he ended up with 8 tackles that night. And, you know, Blake could have had a dozen or something like that as well, leading. So, and even though they start beating the nickel on the run, then the scary part is when he puts in his base and they're still beating it. When you got three guys on the line and the Smith brothers and they're gashing you. So we talked about, you know, Kenny Clark about third down conversions, because the Packers started out pretty good on third down against the Eagles. I think they're like 1 for 4 as the game wore on. Carson Wentz started passing more, so they ended up the night 56%, 5 for 9 out of it. So Kenny talked about that they have been good on third down, but is there any panic on defense when these teams start gashing you for 10 yards, 8 yards, 15 yards, like the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's the frustrating part about it, because when we getting people to third down, when we stop the run on first down, get them to second and long, get them to third down, sit third and 7, we getting off the field. So we got to do a better job of stopping the run, getting them in long distance situations, because we getting off the field on third down. We got to come together as a group and you know, just fix our run fits, really. You know, be more physical at the point of attack, just collective everything, tackle better, all that. So we getting off the field. We got to do a better job of stopping the run, getting them in long distance situations, because we getting off the field on third down. Adversity is going to hit, and You know, honestly, you know, this is the first time that adversity really hit us. So, you know, we handled adversity well over here. When we came back in this locker room, everybody, you know what the situation is. You know, everybody had their heads up high. And I'm definitely confident that we're going to get it fixed.
You hope, because they got a big, big running back in Ezekiel Elliott and that big offensive line to deal with this coming weekend, Mike.
Yeah, and Zeke Elliott scored the opening touchdown last night in that game. I thought your conversation with the rookie linebacker, Ty Summers, who's been doing a good job on special teams Friday night at the Kohler Lodge, because I thought this was interesting, because first of all, you talk about you start off the season with a good performance run defense against Bears and Vikings, and you fail against the Broncos and the Eagles. And I thought this was something that Ty told you that I found interesting to say. You know, the message that we were getting from Mike Pettine was, hey, we got blamed for a lot of stuff last year on defense. Let's get off to a fast start. And they have. At least they did the first couple of games. Here's what Ty Summers said.
We know we're so much better. I mean, just you compare the games against the Bears and against the Vikings and the West Side from that a couple long plays by Dalvin Cook in that game. I mean, our run defense was crazy. You know, guys were out there, you know, the front four and three, depending on what alignment we had, they were out there, you know, stoning the offensive line.
Yeah.
And linebackers flying around.
He had the one carry for 75 yards. I think after that it was like 19 carries for 70 yards or something like
that.
That's
what I'm
saying. It wasn't crazy.
So it was able to pace himself a little bit. But it was just, we've seen what we're more capable of, and that just what we did wasn't it. And so it's about, you know, taking this time to recover, get the body back right, because that's all part of it too. We started off fast because we had a lot to prove. I mean, obviously I wasn't here last year, but from what I heard, everyone was blaming the defense on the lack of success. And so the defense took it upon themselves to come out here and show, hey, you know, we aren't the weak link of this team. And so basically you just got to get back to the mentality. One is also staying healthy. I mean, you can't always control that.
Yeah.
And we have some great players, and we can't lose anyone because, I mean, everyone's a great player.
You're right, Mike. Last year that defense got blamed for a lot. I mean, last year was just a weird year anyway. But I thought for the most part what Mike Pettine did with that defense, especially with the adversity they faced, I thought he did a magnificent job last year.
Yeah, well, where he got the credit was when they started going losing players in the secondary and they're trading players.
Right.
You know, that screwed up, that just quit on you, or they jack a center from the Patriots in the face. You know, a revolving door when it came to the roster. And then, you know, your next opponent is on TV last night, taking on the Saints on Sunday Night Football, and that's the Cowboys, who I think got a pretty surprising wake-up call how they could not move the football against the Saints' defense last night. And so the Cowboys end up falling now to 3-1. Now we'll be at home hosting the Packers on Sunday. We'll be down there to cover the game. Saints hang on to get to 3-1. I thought it was kind of cool to see Drew Brees there cheering on Teddy Bridgewater, like, keep this thing going, man. You know, hold the fort for me to when I get back in 4 or 5 weeks with that thumb injury. Dak Prescott only had 223 yards last night and ends up throwing a pick at the end when they were trying to get the Hail Mary going, and you saw Randall Cobb down there. And then Jason Garrett, you know, talked about it after the game on how his offense was held to just 10 points in New Orleans.
I thought we did some good things offensively, but certainly not good enough. The turnovers hurt us in the ball game. And, you know, in a game like this, there are limited opportunities. So you have to take advantage of the ones you have as best you can. We didn't do that. Yeah, obviously defense did a really good job in this game, particularly down in the red zone. You know, they had some opportunities where they moved the ball, but we did a good job, you know, creating some negative plays and just keeping them out of the end zone when they got down in there close.
I agree. I think that, you know, this is a team that's fallible, but I think last night they were pretty confident they were going to go into that dome and get a win and just kind of wait for the Green Bay Packers. And I think they got punched in the mouth last night.
Yeah, they did. It was very physical, very physical game. And Dak Prescott was asked, did the Saints, were they like showing you new stunts that you weren't anticipating?
I mean, maybe a little different from what they've done, but nothing different than what we probably expected them to do to us. We just continue to step on our own feet and hurt ourselves in this game. Between the run game, the pass game, we just couldn't get it going early. We finally got a drive in the second half, but when you're playing in an atmosphere like this, when you're playing a good team and a good defense like that, that's too late.
I get it. I still think I start to look ahead and I think to myself about this Packers team coming into this contest. And is the defense of the Saints? Because I'm watching that Saints defense, and they're stymieing the run. They're getting penetration at the line of scrimmage. Are the Packers able to get that at the line of scrimmage? And then you watch what Chicago and the Vikings did to one another last night. And then I'm even looking back at that game, going, okay, is this Packers team better than them, or the, because they beat them both,
or did they get them at the right time?
Did they get them at the right time? And have the Packers regressed and these teams gotten better? Boy, that's the reason I came in today saying what's the best team right now in the NFC North?
Well, of course, the favorite quarterback of Chicago Bears fans is whoever is this week's backup. And
correct.
Chase Daniels had a lovely day. I mean, you saw Mitchell Trubisky out in the flats trying to look downfield, gets tackled by the Vikings. He rolls and violently rolls on the left shoulder. And I don't know if Matt Nagy has said whether it was dislocated or something's broken in there, whatever. He came back out and watched from the sidelines for the rest of the game with the arm in a sling. And Chase Daniels, the veteran backup, the guy used to play for the Chiefs, he comes and he goes 22 for 30 and 195 yards and the touchdown. And, yeah, absolute game management. Bears defense just went crazy. They just went crazy. They created two turnovers, put, you know, the Dalvin Cook, he had just 35 yards and scored one touchdown in that. And they kept trying to feed him, too, and he couldn't get anywhere. And the Bears, you know, didn't have Akeem Hicks on there. I mean, they had backups out there that were in Kirk Cousins' face all day. And Chase Daniels talked about, you know, stepping in there and leading the Bears to win and getting to 3-1.
I've said it before. I've been in the league a long time. Don't want to show my age too much. But out there, when you get your opportunities, you never really know when they're going to come as a backup quarterback. So my mindset's always just be ready.
Right, just be ready, because in Chicago, you'll get that opportunity probably sooner rather than later.
And that Bears defense, by the way, I just found this out. I did not know that Virginia McCaskey, the daughter of George Halas, personally addressed all of that Bears team, the players, the organization, an hour before the kickoff on the season opener against the Packers.
Oh, wow.
I just kind of cherish that.
Yeah.
She hardly ever talks to the team, you know, maybe the last time 7 or 8 years ago before the Super Bowl. So she gave her little rah-rah speech, and then they went out there and scored 3 points against Green Bay. And as for Mike Zimmer, you know, he's getting the questions like, you know, geez, your quarterback, man, he fumbled two more times in this game against the Bears. They were all over you. You got a problem with Kirk Cousins and fumbles, don't you, Mike? And here's what he said.
I don't know. I talked about it last night in a meeting. You know, I said we gotta protect the football in the pocket. You know, they're big, stripping the balls in the pocket. We got to do a better job there, and we got to make sure we do that. And we didn't do it today.
No doubt, turnovers ended up killing them, and that's a lot of money to spend for the turnovers that Kirk Cousins was giving away. Mike, good stuff as always. We'll chat later in a week, okay?
Thank you, boys.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Mike comes to us brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel Casino, as always. Joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. We'll wrap it up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Coming up tomorrow on the program, I'm going to get you ready for the Brewers and the Nationals. Voice of the Nats, Dave Jagler, is going to join us. Talk with him about this matchup. Max Scherzer going to the Hill tomorrow night for the Washington Nationals. Chuck Freeman from 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee. He is on his way to D.C. as we speak. We'll get the lay of the land there. Also, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. He's going to join us. And our buddy, Andy Benoit, he is going to examine the Packers film room that tomorrow as well. So we got a banner program tomorrow for you. A lot of baseball, some film study for some football, and back at it. I can't wait for tomorrow already. Should be a good one. Thanks to Mike Clemens for joining us and giving us the breakdown. Paul Emig, Eric Brancheck, and then Tim Allen, obviously, who you're going to hear tomorrow night on our flagship station as well with the Brewers postgame show, the baseball postgame show. But I tell you what, I'm starting to prep. I'm going to head out to I had a good weekend, man, when you talk about just the ability to get out and move around. We didn't have the motorcycle ride on Sunday. They rescheduled it from Sloppy Joe's, by the way, for the couple of people that asked me today. The motorcycle ride to benefit Fisher House, that Johannes does a great motorcycle ride every year, and every year it's a different charity. This year he happened to choose the Fisher House. So went out there over the weekend. If you follow me on Facebook, you had a chance to see that. I went out to Sloppy Joe's and had some breakfast on Sunday morning and just kind of hung out for a while. It was nice just to relax and not do too much. But the motorcycle ride is going to leave there next Sunday. So it's going to leave at the same time, 10 a.m. And I'm going to stop out and say hi as everybody takes off. And then I got to get to work as Joe and Mike are actually going to make the trip to Dallas. But I got work to do, obviously, during the game. So I can't do the entire ride, but certain to stop out there. So enjoyed some breakfast out there at Sloppy Joe's and hung out with Joe's staff and everything for a little while out there. And then tonight, I'm kind of feeling some Monday Night Football, maybe a gar tonight. Head out to maybe Curly's on the Waterfront. They got an incredible chef salad out there. I've just been kind of hankering for that thing. So maybe that's what I'm going to do tonight. And then a good gar after that and catch the Monday night game. And then tomorrow, just kind of start prepping for that Tuesday night matchup, that wild card game between the Brewers and the Nationals. Crossing my fingers for that. We'll break it all down tomorrow and get you ready for it. Can't wait. Till then, it's time for us to get out of here. Have a great one. See ya.
Sports Talk Network.